Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight's going to be a cool and different kind of interview.
It totally is. We're going to talk to legendary entertainment lawyer John Mason. I have so many questions for him.
Me too. He recently put out an audio version of his book called Crazy Lucky, Remarkable Stories from Inside the World of Celebrity Icons.
How exciting is this? Here's some more about John. Most lawyers aren't like John Mason. Then again, most lawyers don't do what he does. Legendary entertainment attorney John Mason released the audiobook edition of his acclaimed memoir, Crazy Lucky, Remarkable Stories from Inside the World of Celebrity Icons, late last year. It is performed by Mason himself and available now wherever audiobooks are sold.
Named Entertainment Lawyer of the Year by Billboard, John Mason is a Los Angeles native who graduated with honors from UCLA and earned his JD from UC Berkeley, where he served as managing editor of the California Law Review. He began his career at a top Beverly Hills entertainment law firm, launched his own firm in 1978, and later established himself in Nashville, where he continues to counsel elite talent across music, film, television, literature, and new media.
A Tennessee Supreme Court 31 listed mediator, Mason has chaired the Nevada Film Commission, hosted a nationally televised satellite talk show, and a regular segment on the CW affiliate in Reno, and served 8 years on the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities. His work has been profiled by the Los Angeles Times, The American Lawyer, Los Angeles Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, The Hollywood Reporter, Los Angeles Daily Business Journal, Variety, The New York Times, Reno Gazette Journal, and Las Vegas Review. He has also represented top talent in literary and music publishing, sports, and electronic media.
Hey, musicians, are you looking for a quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us where you're coming to us from?
Well, I'm John Mason, and I am in Nashville, Tennessee. I wrote a book, Crazy Lucky, with a foreword by Priscilla Presley that I think we'll get to talk a little about tonight.
Yes, we will. And we know that you've just put it out on audiobook too, correct?
I think
recently.
Yeah, four months probably now.
What was that experience like?
Well, it was really, really good. It took me 3 years to write the book. There are stories that people like to hear about the artists Shakira and Reba and Kenny Rogers and Roy Orbison and all those people. When you write a book, when I wrote the book, and it took me 3 years, it's really hard to put your thoughts on paper in those words. A lot easier to tell a story. So when I did the audio book, it was fascinating for me. It would be like what somebody's going to hear when they hear it, because you're sitting in the recording booth with headset on and hearing your own voice, and you get the chance. I got the chance after spending all the time to write the book to maybe fine tune the words that I used in the book. When you hear the audio book, you'll hear a lot more what you're hearing right now, listening to me versus, oh, I'm going to read this, and it doesn't have the same personality. But the stories are just as fun.
And it brings it to life with the audiobook. I love that idea of, I haven't listened to a lot of audiobooks. I read a lot, but I'm excited to actually listen to this one because it's all the things that I'm interested in.
Well, and it's very cool that you get to tell your story and it's not another voice artist doing it.
Yeah, I think most people, particularly doing that kind of biography, hire a voice person to read the book. That wasn't an option for me because I know my voice is articulate and they're my stories, and I felt I could deliver them. The blessing for me was when I decided that I was going to do the audiobook in August, I called Priscilla Presley to ask if she might record her foreword that she did for the book. And she said, sure. And I said, well, do you have recording equipment? She said, no, I'm going to go in the studio and do it in the studio. So when you hear Priscilla Presley on the audio version, you're going to hear her in the studio, just like me telling the story.
How cool.
That is fascinating.
That is.
So we know that you have been an entertainment lawyer for a long time, and how did you get started in that field, and when did you know that you wanted to become a professional entertainment lawyer?
Well, I first in the 50s decided I wanted to be a singing cowboy, and I had to take up the guitar to do that. And I learned the guitar well enough and sight reading well enough that I barged into the musicians union and put my card up on the board and joined, and I got hired because I could sight read. I played in a lot of successful bands, a lot of great recording sessions, including playing on a track with Frank Sinatra. And through that time, I was the business guy. I was the guy that would be booking the dates, collecting the money, checking out the promoter, filing a claim with the musicians union if we didn't get paid properly. And I felt really comfortable in that role. Only problem is when I finally decided to do that, and I was 17 years old, you'd get to go to law school and get a college degree in it. It took a while, a
Yeah.
lot of work.
No, but do you still play music?
I did. I through my years at an undergraduate school at UCLA, I played, I'd say 5 gigs a week, maybe
Oh, wow.
seven, playing sessions and live gigs. And when I went off to law school, I knew that I needed to get serious, and I stopped playing live gigs for 3 years. And then I got back out and started doing them again. But yeah, I never stopped playing professionally, probably until 15 years ago, maybe.
Wow, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it just got to where I didn't feel like I could keep up with the people I was playing with anymore.
Did you ever write your own music at all, or write mu write songs?
I wrote the worst songs that I've ever heard, and I won't ever expose them to anyone else. Two of
Fair.
which got recorded, and they were still terrible.
Yeah.
B-sides. Remember B-sides when we had
Oh, yes.
singles with B, so yeah, I got the B side on a couple of hits, but they never made the radio.
That's so funny. Okay, so
Yeah.
tell us some of the biggest challenges of your job.
Oh, well, a big challenge that I still face is being there all the time, being available when a crisis arises, because there are plenty of crises in entertainment, and especially, well, from when I was doing all the television work, when Red Fox refused to go on the set of all Sanford and Son, and I had to go down immediately to the television studio and talk Red out of his trailer, to the
Gosh.
terrible bus accident Gloria Estefan was in, and the Reba
Oh,
plane crash. I
yeah.
mean, those things that come unexpectedly into your life are really difficult.
Yeah, and those stories are found in the book too.
All the stories are in the book, even the Red Fox story. Although
I
I
can't
did
wait
write a
to read
chapter
it.
about Red. It was when I was writing about how I got started in my career, and in my first 7 years, I was what I call a lackey, the low person on the totem pole. And I was lucky to get stuck on the things I did. But when we had the Sanford and Son and All in the Family and Good Times and all the series that I got put on, I learned a lot, and learned it the hard way. And the same with the movies, with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. Being the low person, you get stuck with everything, and that's how
Yeah.
you learn.
Do you
Good point.
have a genre that you like to work in better than, like, do you prefer music or movies or TV? What's your favorite part of the entertainment business?
Well, I really love music, and my career has evolved to almost exclusively music, because the pace in music is faster and it's easier to get things done. And when I say the pace, when I was on the movies, it probably would be from when we did the contract to sell a script till the movie comes out, like 5 years. And contracts that you do aren't applicable until the movie comes out and it's successful or it's not successful. And television was great, but in my career in television, there was a lot fewer shows. Now, if you said television, you'd be talking about streaming and
Oh,
internet
yeah.
and Hulu and Netflix. And I think television for lawyers now is probably a lot more fun, because things get made all the time. When we had series, and even back, and I've always represented the Nelson family, the Ozzie, Harriet, Ricky, the series, it might have been on TV every week, but they're not changing anything. It just went on and on and on, and that just was the way television was in those days.
So this may be a dumb question, but as an entertainment lawyer, is it strictly contracts that you're working on, or is it kind of run the gamut of all sorts of different types of law?
No, that's a great question, Carolyn, because when I think about it, I'm not really thrilled about contracts, and I'm looking around because they're all over my desk. I like career guidance, deal making. I have never, and I'm just finishing my 54th year as a lawyer. I have never done corporate tax, criminal litigation, and I farm all that out. So
Okay.
it has to be done, right? If you look at I use it as an example, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. So we have Jersey Boys, we have the band, we have the music publishing, we have the records, and I do all the contracts, but I like that we've built the businesses and run the businesses versus contracts. I have a contract sitting, you guys aren't seeing, just like these folders. So this is Rascals. It says Rascals. There's a 1965 recording agreement that has interesting, let's say that because they didn't have 8 tracks or cassettes or DVDs or streaming, the way that the contract was drafted and written is ancient. And I'm now pushing and pushing to get a new one. That happens to be Warner Records. So the contract part of it, when I get this done, will fall on me, but the deal making part of it is a lot more fun.
I would imagine. Yeah. I was gonna ask kind of, what is a day in the life of you, of John, look like? Like what do you do throughout the day or the week in your position?
One of the reasons I'm still doing this is that I never know what I'm going to be doing. About this, I just got a text message.
No
Uh,
way.
about this, about this time, I put together a list of things that I want to do tomorrow that I didn't do today, but I will be unlikely to get even half of those done because every morning I come up to my office and touch that button for the emails, and there's 60 different new emails that half of them re result in my having to do something, even if it's just to answer it. So hours pass without me knowing what's going to happen. And today, I don't get into too many names. I try not to, but a client who's really, really been a great songwriter and producer and artist is trying to make new tracks with these big hit songs that are AI oriented. So we've been going back and forth about copyright and who owns it, and the original masters are all hits and they're all licensed, and are these original and new copyrights? So that was a long example of when I said, I don't know what I'm going to do every day. I didn't expect that to come in today. And then that person wants to have 2 meetings with 2 different companies next week. So now those are going to be on my calendar and mess up those days from not knowing what I'm going to do here in the office.
That keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
going to say it sounds like your day gets hijacked a lot.
Yes.
It gets hijacked every day.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7, that's BF DESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve. Do you
Yeah,
have a
I like it.
favorite part of it? Like,
Favorite part
what
of
do you
what I
like the
do?
best? Of yeah.
I like that I don't know what the heck I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I like that I have these relationships with clients that I talk about in Crazy Lucky, where Even I just showed you Rascals. So Felix Cavalieri, who's the writer, singer, lives in Nashville. I like it that we could go to dinner last week. I like it that I'm able to help with this 1965 contract. I love this job and I love the people I work with. And it's just a blessing. It's something I look forward to. I look forward to my work day every day,
Oh,
not the
that's
other.
fantastic. Well, and it's fantastic that you've been able to share your stories with us through your book. That is fantastic. Question about AI. How is that? I know you mentioned it. How is that affecting your job now? It's a huge thing out there. Has it been really affecting the artists and everybody?
It hasn't, but it is on the verge of becoming, for me, it is already a nightmare, but it's on the verge of becoming chaos. There are people like Lucian Grange, who is the chairman for the world of Universal, the biggest record company in the world, saying, we've learned over time in music that if we don't get on board with new technology, it will bury us. So where we are, me and others that make a living in music, trying to figure out how to control this thing. It's like you let the beast out of the box and it's pretty uncontrollable. And I think a lot that because I will be 80 this year, I won't have to be in the heart of it for my whole career. The part that we're in, and when I'm representing, well, let's just say Frankie Valli, who wasn't the person I was talking about. Frankie turned 93 this week. He's not dealing with it any more than I am in the sense of it's not an everyday thing for us yet, but it will be.
It's looming, right?
Yeah,
It
it's a
is.
little scary
It's
how
out there.
people can copy people's voices and things like that. That's terrifying.
Yeah, and create artificial humans that are in
Okay, I want to.
videos.
Yeah,
Go
yeah,
on.
that
I'm
all.
sorry. I
All the
interrupted
no, I
you.
was gonna say I wanted to talk a little bit about the book and ask you. Do you have a favorite story from the book and can you share a little bit of it?
Well, any story about Olivia Newton-John is my favorite because we worked together from '73 to her passing, and I love talking about Grease and being on the set and physical. But I think my favorite story is when I went to South Africa with Kenny Rogers, and we dreamed up this amazing record deal that ended up with him owning a helicopter. And funny part of it in the book, I said Kenny did an interview with the New York Times the week after the deal was signed, saying he thought of it and he did it. And it just funny. The whole concept that Kenny and I dreamed up that we'd have he and his wife Marianne, who'd been on Hee Haw, standing out on the lawn waving to people as we came in on the helicopter that he wanted to buy. Fun, funny. That's great.
That's
Okay,
so
I
funny.
cannot wait to read this book.
I
I am
can't
so
either.
excited.
You
So
guys
many
are
get
amazing. I love it. I love it that you're real sisters, that you're sisters in sound.
Can you tell? Yeah, can you tell? We're
I
very
can
similar.
now. Yeah, I mean, now that I got your personalities.
It's funny.
So, okay, so how does someone get representation from an entertainment lawyer, and what role do you serve for them? I know we talked a little bit about contracts, but what other kind of things do you do with your clients?
Well, how somebody gets an entertainment attorney has really, really evolved, and I think it depends a lot on where you are. So if you're in New York, it's different the way you meet people. If you're in Nashville, way different. And if you're in LA, way different. Nashville is easy, and I don't take new clients. I'm not, it's that's why I said early to you two, I'm not promoting anything. But there must be tonight 500 live performances, and people go in their showcases, and songwriters write with each other virtually all day, every day. And then somebody who knows a lawyer, or somebody's lawyer is it happens to be there, or you find out that Taylor Swift's lawyer is somebody, and there's a lot of chances to meet lawyers here. I think in Los Angeles, where I started, it's pretty hard because the live music scene isn't that active. And in film and television, which are huge in Los Angeles, there are maybe 50 lawyers in a city that big that really know film and that know television. In Nashville, there are none. I mean, really, I'm not excluding myself. Obviously, I started in film and television, but there's no chance to learn film and television as a lawyer in Nashville. And then there's New York, and we all know New York as a whole different city and business unto itself. And New York has theater. And sometimes I think the couple of plays that I've been fortunate to be involved with, which is Grease and Jersey Boys, I'm amazed that there are lawyers that do nothing but theater. And they are really knowledgeable. There's so many rules about theater in New York. So that was a long answer to your question. How does somebody find a lawyer? It's pretty much you will meet somebody somewhere. I think the concept that you would, that anyone would read my book and go, "Oh, I want to hire John Mason," is unrealistic. There's just not time to keep doing more and more things for anybody. You know, it's like as large as the entertainment business, and I say entertainment versus music, film, television, all this streaming looks, it's small. And there's more than enough to do, is what I'm saying. If you actually are fortunate to be successful in it, it's just a what do you call it, a hamster wheel that just keeps
I'll
going.
bet.
And
Are
especially if you
you?
do it well and you don't screw it up.
Yeah. Are you a one-man show, or do you have like a firm and people that work with you?
I am a one-man show. I
That's pretty amazing.
started in a pretty good sized law firm, and I built a good sized law firm. But in 1988, that long ago, when my wife and I were married, I dissolved my law firm and we moved to Lake Tahoe. And then I've been doing this the way I do it now, however long, that's almost 40 years, 38 years.
How long
That's
have you been
amazing.
in Nashville?
Well, I started coming here regularly. When I say regularly, as often as once a month in 73. We moved here in 2013. So we've been here 13 years full time.
We've visited a couple times. That town is
It
amazing.
is.
So much
It
fun.
is.
We were there for Summerfest, or not Summerfest, Americana Fest last year, last 2 years. As press for our podcast, and just have met some amazing people through this podcast that live in Nashville. So,
Yeah, I bet.
including you, that's right.
So, what's next for you? You have something coming up, another book in the works. What's going on?
Well, you know, I always have to qualify this with the amount of stuff that I do as a lawyer is a lot. And so I have a pretty full schedule through next week. What I really want to do is start a podcast, Crazy Lucky the Podcast, which
Fun.
will feature every week, 50, do 52 shows, feature somebody who's been really, really successful. Let's say who reached their dream. Like my friend, a heart surgeon, he's got to be the first one. People that have a sense of humor, people that you'd never meet in your life, which really is what Crazy Lucky is. You get to know Reba. And I want to get to know, I talked to a guy, we went to Fiji in December for my birthday, who owns a resort. So who gets to know a guy that owns a resort in Fiji? So that podcast, which is in my mind, it's already ready to go. It's gonna be more fun than I would ever have writing another book, and
I
it's
love it.
not meant to, not meant to be about singers and entertainers and celebrities, even though there'll be plenty of them. And I've got eight of the first 10 that I'm doing are celebrities, and then the heart
Very
surgeon
cool.
and the Fiji guy.
Well, if you
I
need it.
want to listen. Oh my gosh, this has been so fun and so amazing. And
You.
I hope everyone will take a chance to listen to the book because,
Yes, or read the book.
or read the book. But I'm excited to listen because I want to hear you tell the story.
I do too. I think that's fantastic.
I thank you. My wife wouldn't read the book.
Oh,
She waited until the audio. And
I love
because I get it, because when we talk and you hear some enthusiasm about a story, it's a lot different than just reading the and.
Absolutely.
Bethany, I'm like you. I don't listen to audiobooks, and mostly because I don't like the way the readers read the book. I don't feel the same as when I'm reading a book, and I feel my own Bethany when if I was reading it. But if you read it, then and what we're doing now, I'm hearing the real Bethany and the real Carolyn, and I like that.
Yeah, I
Me
do
too.
too. It is, to, like we said, it brings it to life. And you know, when you hear somebody and you're listening to somebody and the voice doesn't match with the story, like they're a hired actor, it just doesn't
I
fit. I
agree. I
agree.
know.
So
It kills me.
very,
very stoked to hear you read your story. This is going to be fun. And thank you so much for taking time to meet with us today. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
My
Absolutely.
pleasure. Thank you both.
That was so fascinating. And I was just saying that I felt badly because, John, I felt like I kept interrupting you because I was so excited to ask you things that I wasn't waiting for you to answer.
And there was a delay. So, yes, we apologize for that. But it was so incredibly fascinating to hear his type of work. I'm so excited to listen to the book
I am
and
too.
probably read the book too.
Yeah, I also think it is the cutest thing that his wife didn't want to read the book. She only wanted to listen to it. But I really think that that is true, that it brings the stories to life. So, listeners, make sure you check out Crazy Lucky on audiobooks or.
Crazy Lucky, Remarkable Stories from Inside the World of Celebrity Icons.
It is available anywhere you get an audiobook or a hard copy of the book.
Thank you so much, John. This has been fantastic. We look forward to seeing more from you down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.